fanning the red light out against the pitch blackness in front of me. Then I got down on all fours and headed forward, my knees rubbing against the rough stone of the floor. After several turnings, the ceiling went lower still, too low for crawling. After a long moment of consideration, I dropped to my belly and pressed on, pushing my lamp ahead of me. Each twist of my body pulled at the rows of stitches all across my back. If you have never been deep underground, I doubt you can understand what it is like. The darkness is absolute, almost tangible. It lurks outside the light, waiting to rush in like a sudden flood. The air is still and stale. There's no noise except what you make yourself. Your breathing becomes loud in your own ears, your heart thumps, and all the while there is the overwhelming knowledge that thousands of tons of earth and stone are pressing down above you. Still, I continued to worm my way ahead, moving by inches. My hands were grimy, and sweat dripped into my eyes. The crawlway grew smaller yet, and I foolishly let one of my arms get pinned to my side. Cold sweat burst out across my whole body as I panicked. I struggled, trying to get it stretched out in front of me. After several terrifying minutes, I managed to get my arm free. Then, after lying there for a moment, trembling in the dark, I pressed ahead and found what I'd been looking for. After emerging from the underthing, I made my careful way through a window and a locked door into the women's wing of the mews. I knocked softly on Fela's door, not wanting to wake anyone accidentally. Men were not allowed unescorted in the women's wing of the mews, especially not during the late hours of night. I knocked three times before I heard a gentle stirring in her room. After a moment, Fela opened the door, her long hair in wild disarray. Her eyes were still half closed as she peered into the hallway with a puzzled expression. She blinked when she saw me standing there as if she hadn't really expected anyone. She was unmistakably naked, with a bedsheet half wrapped around herself. I will admit that the sight of gorgeous, full-breasted Fela half naked in front of me was one of the most startlingly erotic moments in my young life. "Toth," she said, maintaining a remarkable degree of composure. She tried to cover herself more fully, and met with mixed success, pulling the sheet up to her neck in exchange for exposing a scandalous amount of long, shapely leg.
"What time is it? How did you get in here?"
"You said that if I ever needed anything, I could call on you for a favor," I said urgently. "Did you mean it?"
"Well, yes, of course," she said. "God, you're a mess. What happened to you?"
I looked down at myself, only then realizing the state I was in. I was grimy, the front of my body streaked with dirt from sliding across the floor. I'd torn open my trousers across one knee, and it looked like I was bleeding underneath. I'd been so excited that I hadn't even noticed or thought to change into my new clothes before I came. Fela took a half step back and swung the door wider, making room for me to enter. As it opened, the door made a tiny wind that pressed the sheet against her body, outlining her nudity in perfect profile for a moment.
"Do you need to come in?"
"I can't stay," I said without thinking, struggling against the urge to gawk openly. "I need you to meet a friend of mine in the archives tomorrow evening. Fifth bell by the four-plate door, can you do that?"
"I have class," she said. "But if it's important, I can skip it."
"Thank you," I said quietly as I backed away. It says a great deal about what I had found in the tunnels underneath the university, that I was halfway back to my room at Anchor's, before I realized I had turned down an invitation from a near-naked Fela to join her in her room. The next day, Fela skipped her lecture on advanced geometries and made her way to the archives. She climbed down several flights of stairs and through a maze of corridors and shelves to find the only section of stone wall in the entire building that wasn't lined with books. The four-plate door stood there, silent and immobile as a mountain. Valaritas. Thaler looked around nervously, shifting her weight from